My friends, in Christ, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I'd like to consider today with you the words of the first epistle of St. Peter in the second chapter, verses 20 through 25, where Peter writes these words, "For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, the teenage years are great years, aren't they? As a recovering teenager myself, as a former teenager myself, and it was not that long, it was a while ago, I remember it was a great time. You're just beginning to figure out, you know, who you are, and your dreams and your aspirations are much larger than yourself. And best of all, it's that time of life, that age, when you're just sure that you know it all. I remember the day very clearly when my dad first put the controls of a car into my hands. It was our red Datsun wagon. And in Iowa, in those days, you got your driver's permit when you were 14 years old. Dad took me out onto some back rural roads that were very rarely traveled. I didn't understand the wisdom of that at the time. I thought, let's just go right out to Interstate 80 and, you know, we'll do this thing and everything will be all right. But he wisely took me out on the backcountry roads, and he pulled into a driveway and switched seats with me. Now, by this time in my life, I had been watching my dad drive for years and years, and I was just sure, this can't be that hard. This is going to be all right. I'm just going to sit here in the driver's seat, take the controls, and we'll go sailing down the road. It was all going to be good. Yeah, I had this well in hand. So I put the car in reverse to back out of the driveway, and we just got going, and it wasn't but a matter of seconds. And already my dad is saying, "Stop, stop, stop!" And I stopped. Boy, did I stop. I didn't have a feel for the brakes at all. Slammed the brakes on, probably jerked. And with some disgust, I said to my dad, "What?" And he said, "You're about to back into a ditch." "No, I'm not." He said, "Get out of the car and take a look." And I did, and sure enough, I was about to back into a ditch. I didn't realize what I was about to do. But my father knew. Thank you for coming to church today. But I'm sure you don't want to hear the Lenten scriptures in a routine, in one ear, out the other kind of way. You come here for spiritual growth. And we want the word of the cross to go in both ears and into your head and finally down into your heart. We want you to leave worship today with an appreciation, a renewed appreciation, as I just said, that when we don't know what we are doing, our Father knows. And that's why Jesus said from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend myself." We want to leave worship today knowing that life is best lived when we live it in the Father's hands, not in our own. Because we all know, don't we? We all know that life is not better in the hands of other people. For example, Is your life better lived in the hands of the government and some bureaucracy? Nobody wants that. At least I hope not. Not here in America, where we have our freedoms. Is life better lived in the hands of Wall Street executives? I don't know. Wall Street's doing pretty well, I guess, with all of their bonuses and salaries, but Main Street is sure hurting. Is life better lived in the hands of scientists? But now we're learning about scientists who are not really all that impartial and who are fudging on data to push their agendas and their policies. Just this morning I read about some scientists in umbilical stem cell research who are fleecing their clients and freezing these stem cells, not even knowing for sure what they're going to be able to do. I don't know, is life better lived in the hands of the institutional church? This one hurts, because recent studies show that people from the age of 16 to 29 believe that the institutional church is judgmental and hypocritical and old-fashioned and out of touch, to name just a few criticisms of the church. So it's going to be a pretty tough sell to try to convince somebody that life is better lived in someone else's hands. All right, so what's left? In this narcissistic day of ours, more and more people are saying, well, life is better lived in my hands. Like that teenage driver that I once was. Oh, I was just so confident. I could take the controls and I would do well, and I would be smooth sailing for me. And how painful it was for me to admit that I didn't realize that I was about to drive my life right into a ditch. And my dad's life too. And isn't that an accurate picture of how many people are living their lives? You know, we think we are the masters of our own fate. We've got the controls. And we know what we're doing. And then someone comes along and tells us, well, we should not text and drive, or drink and drive, or eat and drive, or make up and drive. But we do it anyway, because we think we can handle it, unlike all the other people. Surely we're better than they are. They thought they could handle it, but obviously they couldn't. Then they got into a crash and maybe died, but we can handle it. We're told that we should think twice before we put something on Facebook, lest we destroy our own reputation. But we do it anyway. We are told that we should stay true to our spouse, give quality and quantity time to our children. We should save money for a rainy day. We should. But we don't, because we think we know better. We're in control. We have matters in our own hands, and we're confident that we're going to do all right. But inevitably, we drive ourselves right into the ditch. Death, perhaps. Ruined families and reputations. Diseases. Financial woes. All kinds of self-inflicted misery. We can't blame it on anybody else. We invite it upon ourselves simply because we think we know what we're doing when we don't. Human experience teaches us, well, human experience practically screams at us, life is not better in my hands. So if life is not better in someone else's hands and life isn't any better in my hands, what's left? Only the cross of Jesus, from which our Lord said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lent should be a time that drives us to confess that life is better lived when we entrust it to the Heavenly Father. Let me repeat for you the words that we used again last Wednesday night on Ash Wednesday as the ashes were imposed upon our heads or hands. We said, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So are you going to put your life into hands that are one day destined to turn into dust? When you have the option of putting your life in eternal, loving hands, life is better lived only when I entrust my life 24/7, 365 into the loving hands of our Heavenly Father. And that's what that sermon text is about from 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter wrote these words to some Christian slaves in Asia Minor, many of whom were leading just wretched lives in their bondage. But Peter urges them not to take matters into their own hands or to strike back at their masters. But instead, he points them to the example of their Savior Jesus. And he says, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow. And then he says in verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. But there is something more here, much more important. Jesus isn't just a model for us for entrusting our lives to the Father. We're not here today because Jesus is a model. We're here because He's our Savior. And He forgives us for thinking that we know better how to live our lives. Listen again to verses 24 and 25. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For Jesus, dying in His Father's hands was better than taking life into His own hands. And the forgiveness that He offers us when we thought we knew better is such a change from the world around us that we are left hearing this gospel to do but one thing. And that is to pray with Jesus, the prayer that commends our lives into the hands of the Father. This Lenten season, we repent of those times when we thought that life was better lived in our own hands, when we thought we knew better, when we thought we could handle it and we're in control. The Father forgives those times. For Christ Himself bore our sins in His body to the tree. And then Peter again adds, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. True repentance is confessing that sin and then receiving God's pardon for Jesus' sake. And then, this is the part we sometimes forget, it's easy to forget, and then we follow up by praying that the Holy Spirit would help us and strengthen us to lead holier lives, more righteous lives. How? By doing exactly what you're doing right now. By gathering together around the cross of Jesus Christ. Gathering at His table to hear His word. I'm not talking now about the institutional church, whose faults we know all too well. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ, the one holy church, the communion of the saints, all coming together to reflect on the great stories of our salvation, to taste the goodness of the Lord at His altar, to hear the message of His life and love. Life together in His church, gathered around the Word, at the foot of the cross. That's the way the Holy Spirit keeps reminding us and keeps enabling us to commend our lives into the hands of the Heavenly Father. Because truly, truly, life is better in the Father's hands. Amen. May the peace of God, that is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.